slates at Reed Moore against the number two team in the country.
Live from Frick Sports Bar, here's your host, Travis McCurdy.
You are live.
Good evening, everyone. We are live. It's good to be live again, isn't it, Autumn?
It's really good to be live.
We are live. This is Travis McCurdy joining. This is Northwood Basketball Weekly live from Frick's on Sports Radio 100.9 The Mitt. We're here every week. Well, we're live. We have a show every week, but as Autumn and I can attest to, we've had some weeks we got games, some weeks we're traveling. There's just a lot of things going on, but we are live from Frick's tonight. We are live. Next week will be on Wednesday. Some weeks will be Tuesday. Some weeks are Monday. Today it's a Tuesday night show. And Autumn Hagedorn's a women's coach. I should mention that. Okay. Autumn, how are you this evening?
I'm doing well.
Well, tonight we got a big show. After Autumn, we'll have our first repeat guest of the year. But since the last time she was on, she's gotten the 1,000-point club.
Yeah.
She didn't get
her Frick's burger.
She didn't get her Frick's burger either. I think she pre-recorded last year, too. So I don't know if she got her. Yeah, not that I tell the guests to come on to make sure they pressure the coach to bring the Fricks to get a free dinner, because I do. But Maggie Volker.
Maggie
wow,
Volker.
That's a
never
new
heard
one.
That
no,
one.
I haven't either. I mean, like, thankfully, I don't have the speaker out so she can hear that. Maddie Volker will join us, and then after the women's coaches are on, women's staff is on. We'll have Tom Church from the men's team and Braden Chamray, the freshman point guard for the Timberwolves. Coach, a couple games last week. First one, Hillsdale on Tuesday. Really great college basketball game. And the last 4 minutes of the game went a different way. We'd be talking about what a great game and how fun it was and everything was awesome. Unfortunately, came up a little short, 86-83. And everything but the result was an outstanding game to watch for sure.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that was a week ago.
It was a week ago today. It does kind of feel like a lot's happened since then.
A lot has happened since then. So obviously not the ending we wanted. I thought we competed hard. There was a lot of good learning moments, a lot of growth to move forward throughout the end of the season or like mid to end of the season. We definitely talked about things, you know, that can't happen going forward in that game. So I thought we did a good job of, you know, sitting down together, watching film and learning and growing together. So
yeah, it was 13-point lead, just over 6 minutes to go, around 5 minutes to go for you guys. And then, I mean, you got to give credit. Hillsdale, yep. Like players like Splane, had not done anything in that game. She scored 11 points in the last 4 minutes.
Yep.
And they came back to win. Bright spots, obviously, the continued great play of Leah Holmes. She's played two great games last week, 26 points, 10 rebounds. And I feel like we've kind of covered the gamut talking about Leah. But thing that I think that's impressive now is that early on, teams didn't know what to make of her.
Yeah.
There's no tape.
For sure.
Now there's tape. There's teams that are adjusting her, and she's still producing at a very, very high level.
And honestly, she's even producing better. Like, you could say every game and every week we go, like, I'm always waiting to see what teams are going to do. And she always finds ways to adjust, whether that's mid-game, at halftime, or whenever. And, yeah, two huge performances from her this week.
Yeah, she was she finished with 26 points, 10 rebounds, 11 of 19 from the floor. Other good performances. Maddie Volker, again, has been very consistent. Got off to a slow start in that game, but finished strong. Ended up with 15. Maybe St. John, 9 points, 11 assists. And Lexi Bowers continued to make some plays. Malin McNeely.
Yep.
Ella Miller, all in there. It just was, you know, we've talked a lot about on the men's side that they played a lot of games where they played 36 minutes.
Yeah.
And 36 minutes was good enough to put you in a spot to win. But the 4 minutes can cost your game. And in that case, it might even not have been 4 minutes a total time that you struggled, but it was enough for a very good Hillsdale team to get hot and make shots and come back to win.
Yeah, and like you said, all the credit to Hillsdale. I mean, they're a really good team. They have shooters that can get hot like that, and they did. And it just unfortunately came in a tough spot and a tough time for us.
Yep. And then, but then you responded on Saturday against Walsh, a team that I think is better than their record. They've got their two best freshmen in the GMAC played in that game, with Izzy Callaway, who is the right around Leah's stats as a guard as opposed to a post. Not as much rebounding and other stuff, but scoring, she's right there. 75-62 was the final in that one. You got the victory. And the nice part about that game is you started real strong, got up to a great lead, made your first five or six shots, struggled. But after the struggle last game that led you to loss, the struggle in this game led to a very strong third quarter and the cruising on to the victory.
Yeah, I was proud of our second half in that game. Again, some minor adjustments that I thought we executed really well in the second half. That was a game going into it. We weren't preparing to go zone, and we had to make an adjustment on the floor. And Credit to our team. I know we talked at halftime of the men's game, but credit to our team. They adjusted, did it, made adjustments out of timeouts, listened, and did a phenomenal job of trusting, you know, what we were trying to do there against them. Walsh is really, really strong offensively, as you spoke, and they run that, you know, five out, five guard rotation.
They literally start five guards.
Even it's really hard for us to match up, you know, with two bigs on the floor. So when we went to the zone, that was the best for us defensively, and I thought we did a great job of executing it.
Yeah, and again, Leah goes out and scores the first 8 points in the game. And then they basically said, you are not going to beat us.
Yeah.
And that's kind of when the struggles came in, because we had to figure out how to what to do offensively after they were, like, really closing out on her. Mm-hmm. And, again, sometimes making shots. It's simple as making shots to open things up, but you guys executed better, got better shots. And then it opened it up, and then Leah came back and finished the game strong as well.
Yep, for sure, yeah. And I thought, like you said, I know it does all come to making shots, but in the second half I thought we attacked the basket a lot better. Got points in the paint. I think we had 42 points in the paint that game. So just understanding that there are other ways to score in the paint outside of Leah.
Yeah, Leah had 21 points in that game, 9 for 13 from the floor. Maddie, 16 points, 4 for 6 from 3. Ella Miller, less specifically Ella, I thought that was Ella Miller's best game of the season.
Yeah, she rebounded really well. I think she had 10 or 11 or
12
rebounds.
12 rebounds.
12 rebounds. Defensive rebounds were huge for us in the zone. It's not easy to rebound out of a zone, so I thought she did a great job going to pursue the ball. And then just going to the rim, I thought she had some really strong takes, really strong finishes, really good passes. She had a very overall all-around game.
Yeah, 11 points, 12 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 4 for 5 from the floor, 3 for 4 from the foul line. Maeve St. John, 10 points, 7 assists. Lexi Bowers played really well in the second half after not a great first half. And so going forward, obviously adjustments are being made. You got to adjust how you play and what you do offensively and defensively. And, you know, like we talk about that zone, but the zone might be something you have to go to a little more often the rest of the season.
Yeah, and, you know, we still obviously, to be good at a zone, you have to work on your man. So man-to-man is still our defensive principles, and we'll continue to work on things just to
give yourself options.
Just to give us options, yeah. And
zone is an option. You have done it. It's not like that was not your first possession of zone this year in that game. But
right. It just definitely wasn't a part of the game plan to go for the full – three quarters.
to credit to your team, I mean, we've talked a lot this year about how you've got a lot of new faces, new players, and new spots. Mm-hmm. And making an adjustment like that last year probably wouldn't have concerned you that much because you had such a veteran team that had kind of been through everything. This is a new group and a lot of players that haven't done this before. And overall, they executed really well.
I thought they did, yeah. And even just like I said, those small adjustments aren't easy to do out of timeouts where you draw up what they're trying to do offensively. Because, I mean, we didn't even go over any zone offense for them. So it was like, okay, they're trying to run this action. This is how we're going to guard it. Go out and do it. And they did a phenomenal job.
And while the turnovers in that game came in bunches, I thought that towards the end, we had a few there at the end there. But, like, overall, with a team that trapped you and aggressively was trying to force you to get turnovers, overall, I mean, you're probably – 18 turnovers is average.
Yeah.
But considering what they threw at you in the key parts of the game where you took over, you did a great job against that pressure.
Yeah, I mean, at times we didn't really even have a traditional point guard on the floor. So
that's
to
true.
Be able to break the press and not turn the ball over as much as, you know, traditionally we have all year, I thought was really good.
Yeah, so going back to Leah here, I'm looking at the overall stats for the season. A redshirt freshman who currently leads the GMAT, who's second in the GMAC in scoring, leads in blocks, and is top 10 in rebounding. I mean, I think we all had high expectations for her coming into this year, but I don't know. She's exceeded my expectations. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I mean, I knew coming in last year, her redshirt, and she practiced here and there. She didn't do anything to this caliber, but I knew it was in her, her potential. I just didn't think it was going to happen this fast.
Yes.
But she does things that aren't coachable. Like, she naturally has a knack for finishing around the rim.
Yep.
Her pauses mid-air, her shiftiness and her moves, her ability to be able to take people off the bounce to hit the 15-foot jump shot. Like, she has a lot of attributes that make her really hard to guard.
Yeah, and she does it, like, in a way that's just – it's natural.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one
effortless.
Of those – it's none of those things. You either have it or you don't. And she has it, whatever that it factor is. But then, like, you look at – Maddie Volker leads the GMAC in scoring in conference games only. So your top three have been outstanding, and they're going to there have to continue to be for you guys to be successful.
For sure. And, you know, if you have a point guard, a center, and a shooting guard that can make shots, like, you're really hard to guard, and that's what we have
in those three. That's exactly
what you got. Maeve can get paint touches. She can distribute the ball. Leah is a threat at the rim, and if you have to double, then Maddie somehow is going to get wide open because you have to double off someone. So as long as we can create and understand how to pass through things and find, you know, Maddie open, it's going to lead to success for us.
Yeah, if you look at the top of the individual stats in the GMAC, you know, overall, Leah's second in the league in scoring, first in blocks, top 10 in rebounding. Maeve is first in steals, first in assists. Maddie's most three-pointers, highest percentage. I mean, it's very, very impressive for you guys. This week, jumping on the bus, heading down south, the Kentucky swing for you guys this week. You have not played Wesleyan, and you have played Thomas More this
year.
Wesleyan was an excellent program last year, really one of the top teams in the league. In a similar spot to you guys, where they're kind of rebuilding with new players, they've had some really good results, but obviously they're not the same team as last year either.
Yeah, you know, they're a team that when you go down there and play in their sports center, and you know, the atmosphere is different than most things. You have to travel on a bus for that many hours, but the ability for us to get stops is going to be huge. They're super long, super athletic. They can one-on-one take you to the rim. They're getting paint touches. They have really good outside shooting, so they have a lot of different combinations of threats that we're going to have to find a way to stop.
And then Saturday, go to Thomas More. For those fans, Thomas More is just outside Cincinnati. It's Kentucky, but it's probably 5,000 yards from Ohio and from Cincinnati. So, but Thomas More last year had a very successful first year in the GMAC. And, again, another team that has a lot of new faces. You played them earlier this year, so you kind of know what to expect going into Saturday.
Yeah, we do. And it feels like it was a while ago. We still have a lot, you know, that has changed and things that, you know, we've changed and they've changed since we've played. So it should be a good one.
Yeah. So that's Thursday at 6:30 our time and Saturday at 1 o'clock our time, because they're also on two different time zones.
Yep.
Thomas More is on our time zone, and Wesleyan is in the central time zone. So overall, though, I mean, you guys have won 5 out of 6. Only you're 5-1 since the 2025's taken off, and your team's doing a lot of really nice things right now.
Yeah, I'm really proud of my team. You know, people are having to adjust to different roles and different, you know, positions and everything, and they've really just kind of been just grateful for it, you know, grasp it, and have tried to move forward the best we can and step into those roles and embrace them and, you know, go into it with everything we've got, because no other way, right?
Exactly. You got no choice. You still got to play the games every week, and you still got to – you got to have the right attitude going in. You can choose to have a good attitude going into a game. And that's what you guys have done really well. So, Autumn, thanks for joining us, and have fun this week. Good luck down in Kentucky.
Thanks so much.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with Maddie Volker. You're listening to Northwood Basketball Weekly, live from Fricks on Sports Radio 100.9 The Mitt. Live from Fricks on Sports Radio 100.9 The Mitt. Okay, Maddie Volker, welcome back to the show again. I was going to ask you, how many times you've been on now? Because you've already been on once this year.
Mm-hmm.
You've been on a couple times. I know I forgot last year we did the interview with you and Jake.
Yes, we did.
And we made fun of Jake the whole time, which is what you're supposed to do in those situations, I think. Mm-hmm. So that's got to be like 5 or 6 times now you've been on.
Yeah.
You might one of the most frequent guests in the history
of
the
sport. Even before we were at Fricks.
Yeah, when we were at the other place downtown and stuff. Yeah, it's been a lot of visits here, but
Maddie, you gotta be sick of me.
No, it's good. I know we'll get a good conversation when you come on. That's the good part. So, Maddie Volker has joined us. So I got to start with the fact that you reached a milestone since the last time, and you really did it in a cool way.
Mm-hmm.
You reached the 1,000 point mark. It was the 20th person in school history, but you also scored a career high 30 points in the game you did that. So, I mean, obviously, how much of it did you know going in? Because I know you're obviously, as soon as you scored it, everyone in your family was holding up signs in your head. Did you know you were that close, or were you trying to keep it out of your mind?
I mean, I did know. It's hard not to know that.
With excited family members go, hey, did you know you're only a few points away?
Exactly. Yeah. So I did know. I tried not to think about it too much, but obviously that was in the back of my mind.
Yeah.
I was just more or less, you know.
You only needed like 7 points at that point, so it was not that.
And at that point, I'm like, I'll get it, whatever game it is.
So. And it's not like you're shooting a 3 and going, this could be 1,000. You're just focused on your
image. Because it was on a 3,
it was
I believe.
On a 3,
right in front of you, in that corner. So.
Yeah, you had a really good game that night too. So, I mean, I unofficially proclaimed you scored the most points for out of the 20 members to ever get to 1,000. Don't ask me if that's true because I'm not going back to
I'll take it.
I'm
not going back to 1983 box scores and digging through like that sort of thing to figure that out. But lately, obviously, we talked last time you were on about the adjustments that you had to make going from purely a 4 to, well, frankly, now a 1 through 4 frequently. But, like, lately, you've really been playing well. What do you think? Just getting comfortable or just – it's also being a shooter. I talked about that with Jameson Eklund last week, that sometimes the ball goes in and it's easy, and sometimes the ball goes in and you wonder if you're ever going to make another shot again. But you've been shooting really well, and things have been going really well lately.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's just me. I think around the around the team, like, everyone has just stepped it up, and I think it's just comfortability, familiarity.
Yeah.
I mean, we're in the heat of the season now, so when we talked earlier, it was still like we were coming off some tough non-conference losses. So it was like we have a lot to figure out, a lot to change, but we're doing well in the conference, and our offense is really clicking.
Yeah.
We're doing good inside out, so I don't think it's just me. I think it's like the whole team. We've all just kind of gotten better and filled our roles and done a really good job so far.
Yeah, in conference play only, you guys lead the GMAC in field goal percentage and three-point percentage.
I did not know that.
And considering the kind of shooters that we lost off the team last year, I mean, like Maisie and Allie and Kenzie alone, those three are all great shooters. It's a real testament to what you guys are doing that everybody's really stepping up and knocking down shots.
Yeah, yeah, it really is. I mean, it's not – we have a lot of different threats, and that's something that we had the past few years. It's something that I wasn't sure how this year was going to go.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've had people step up, and that's been really cool to watch and be a part of too.
Yeah. When you see, and again, I feel like at half the time this show turns into, Maddie's playing great. Wow, May playing great. Wow, Leah's playing great. But like Coach Autumn just said it, true. It's like you got a point guard, you got a wing, and you got a post. Your three best players are one at each spot, and it makes it that like, okay, Maddie's not knocking down shots, but guess what? Leah's scoring like crazy inside. You want to double team Leah? Now Maddie's going to start knocking down shots. It makes you three as a combo really make you guys tough to guard.
Yeah, and it is really hard. And then, I mean, you look at the other – Ella's a great passer.
She is.
Oh, my gosh. She's a really good passer.
I wish she'd shoot it more sometimes, though. I don't know. You probably – well,
she had a great game, 11 points, 12 rebounds.
She had 9 points forever. I was trying to get her that – she had the 10 rebounds, and she needed one more point. And I almost was screaming on the air, shoot the ball, Ella, we need you to get that. And then she did get the double-double.
I'm so glad she had a good game.
I know,
and
she's such a – if anything, she was a little too nice. You'd like her to be a little meaner on the floor sometimes because she is – but having said that, Ella's like one of the nicest people.
She is very nice.
She's
very
a sweetheart. Nice. So, yeah. But actually, to her credit, I'll ask you about this too because it kind of like has become a theme for you guys. Coach talked – and I think it's since you've been on the air about, like, you guys had a team meeting or something about rebounding and how literally I should probably do a sort stats by before we had this discussion about rebounding and after, because your team rebounding has gone off the charts since you guys have really committed to it. I don't want to say, but, like, talk about the improvement in your rebounding in season. It's very rare to see it like that.
Right. I mean, we were getting out rebounded crazy amounts.
Yeah.
And then I think just, like, honing in on it, we also changed a few things. Like in practice, every offensive rebound for every drill was worth 3 points.
Yep.
And everyone wants to win a drill, right? Yep. Super competitive. So adding that made sure that we were practicing it in practice so that it correlated to games. I think just like harping on it, like making sure that was a focus and being like one of our goals every single game when we were making that an emphasis, and it still is, like I said, but we've gotten better at it, was win the rebound.
Yep.
When we win the rebound battle, we'll win the game. So that was, like, a really big focus, and the coaches did a great job. Every practice, we had drills that prepared us for it. They'd put drills on the practice plan to practice that. And then really just that three-point for O-boards, it's made it competitive because we don't always do a great job crashing offensive rebounds
right,
either.
Right, right, right.
So it was kind of a dual benefit.
Yes, yeah, it works on both sides. We're talking with Maddie Volker here on Northwood Basketball Weekly, live from Fricks on Sports Radio 100.9 The Mitt. So you're in your fifth year here. Mm-hmm. Your first year was the COVID year, and you also got hurt early in the season, didn't really get a chance to play. So was it two games you played your freshman year?
Yeah, I played in two games, four or five minutes.
It was nothing. It was really, you've only played for 4 years.
Yeah.
But my question is, how's the body feel 4 years later? I mean, are you a little more achy this time of year than you were, say, 4 or 5 years ago?
Definitely. I definitely feel it. I definitely ice bath more than I ever have.
Yeah.
It's just taking care of my body, making sure I, like, roll out, things like that. I definitely feel it. I don't I don't feel like a freshman anymore. But, yeah. Well,
and I have to say, I say this with love to him, but I was setting up today something upstairs, and I watched a drill where you guys were the poster going in the basket, mm-hmm. and I watched your brother essentially foul the crap out of everyone that goes to the basket. How much of your soreness do you account to your brother doing that during those drills?
Yeah, that's an added bonus. I mean, he has fun. I just know that he hits me way harder than anyone else,
obviously. way noticeable. It's very obvious.
But I get my jabs in. Like, anytime it's a spin move, it's a quick jab to his stomach.
Yeah. There's going
to
be some elbows.
So, I mean, I'm sure he's hurting by then in practice,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, well, and the thing is, too, he's a very strong young man. He's a confident young man.
But don't tell him that.
But his pain tolerance on stuff like that is maybe the worst I've ever seen.
Right, yeah.
Because, like, he does go, ow, all the time when he's not that hurt. He's just very, very soft.
He likes attention between you and I.
Weird. Well, this is what I said, because my brother – so to be fair, Jake and I are very good friends. Jake's a great friend of mine. I hang out with him a lot. Jake has consummate little brother energy. I feel like you're the older sibling of the two.
You think so?
Emotionally, like, in terms of, like, if I see
that's
you, like,
actually really funny.
Because, like, he just seems like the consummate little brother, while you seem like you're the one trying to keep the house from burning down while he's giggling in the corner. Is that? I mean, how do you feel about that assessment?
I don't know. I mean, just growing up, it was always
of
like,
of course, he's a bully.
He was the yes. But he was also the big brother that I mimicked. I followed him around.
Of course,
I did everything
of course.
He did.
Yeah.
So, but I can see now he's a little bit more.
He's a goofball,
whereas I'm a little bit more serious,
I would
say.
Yeah, I agree. That's funny. Because my brother and him, like, there's a couple things they both said. I'm like, oh, man. I don't know if I want you guys to get to know each other, if I want to separate you, just because it'd be really funny, but.
Yeah.
But dangerous in the overall scheme of things.
That would be interesting.
Going forward the rest of the season, what are you looking for from your team, and how do you keep playing well?
I'm really excited for this weekend specifically. Our overall record, we're one win away from being 500.
Yep.
So I'm really excited for that and to get over 500 for a quick sweep here. Definitely doable, and I'm excited for that. Just continuing to grow, I think we're doing well in the conference. There's a few that I wish we could get back, a few tough ones. I mean, the one that we lost this week, that's still tough to even think about.
That one hurts. It does, like Autumn just said, it feels like that was a long time ago. It was 1 week ago today.
When I just said last week, I was like, wait, was that last week?
It does not, yeah.
But what's cool is we get to see them again.
Yep.
And we get to beat them at their place.
Yeah, that's the thing about, I think, like, basketball, it's in the sense of when you have a disappointing loss, you don't have a lot of time to worry about it because
exactly. There's
always another game coming up. Football teams have to sit around for a week stewing on the loss. Now, good teams will bounce back from it, but like,
sure.
You got to go right back to work because you've got, especially that one, because you got one day off, then you got to get ready for Walsh coming in. So
yeah, but even with that question, another thing for us, our team, it is a long season, but now that we're getting into the back end, we need to make sure that we do treat it like football.
Yep,
almost.
Yep.
You know, every game matters.
Yep.
We can't have another loss like that. We can't have a loss that we look back and it's like, that we should have won that. Same Cedarville, wish we had that one back.
Yep.
You know, we're getting to the point where we're meshing, we're clicking, and we got to finish games out, you know.
Well, and I think the one thing, like, going back to this, and maybe I asked you that earlier this year. If I did, I apologize.
No,
but, like, looking back to, like, after the first game of the year against Saginaw and now, how satisfying it is to see how much you guys have improved as a team.
It's
that
very satisfying.
That team, when we the game won, is not the team we have today, and it's not even close.
Yes, I completely agree, and I mean, it's like night and day.
Yeah,
honestly.
Yeah.
It's pretty painful. I haven't watched a Saginaw Valley game back recently.
No.
Nor would I think
you probably will
that'd
never
be,
watch. You
that'd
may
be
not
punishment.
You may not ever watch that game.
Yeah,
again.
That would be punishment. But it's a completely different team. I mean, I'd love to play them now.
Yeah. But
they would be scared.
Yeah. Well, Thursday at Wesleyan, Saturday at Thomas More. Maddie, I've asked you so many times what you want to do, and after you graduate, I'm not even going to bother this time. So thanks for joining us. Another great appearance. I don't know. I say this will probably be your last, but I don't know. You might have two or three more appearances than you. Who knows? So, Maddie, thanks for joining us. Good luck this week.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with Coach Tom Church. You're listening to Northwood Basketball Weekly live from Fricks on Sports Radio 100.9 The Mitt. Northwood Basketball Weekly live from Fricks on Sports Radio 100.9 The Mitt. Our next guest is the men's coach at Northwood, Tom Church. Coach Church, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Right, I mean, the cold is excessive. I got to be
honest.
It is
so cold outside.
Yes, I mean, and I'm a Michigander, but I'm still soft, and I've had enough of that. So
I'm going to try to find the positive. At least it's not windy.
That is true. That is true, because a couple weeks ago it was windy the one day, and that was brutal too. So coming up a couple games last week. We'll talk about the Tiffin game first. Obviously, that game had a lot of emotions for both sides that night, and it's the thing. I'll bring up the point now because we'll bring it up again later. It's the 40-minute game, and you guys played 36 minutes in that game, but the other minutes, and again, we said because you're the former coach there, that game was really big for you, but those other guys, it was a big game for them too.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. And you knew it was going to happen. You know, they were pretty juiced up, and some of those guys played extremely well that had not been playing well, and I give them credit. You know, they made shots. I mean, they hit 10 threes. They have, they haven't particularly – they've struggled from the three-point line, but they made 10 threes, and, hats off to them. They did. They played well.
Yep. And the final – but even with that, it's an eight-point game at the final. Yeah. It's not like it's a 85-77 was the final, and our next guest, Braden Chamray, that was really – I mean, I don't want to say it's the game where he came out and became the player he is, because he's been playing very solid basketball for you guys. But that night we saw how much of a scoring threat that he is and is going to continue to be for the rest of his career.
He's certainly been trending upward. He's been playing really well. And, you know, that you can say it. I mean, that was kind of his coming out party from a scoring standpoint. Yeah. And he just makes things happen. You know, he makes players around him better. He's able to get downhill. He's a bigger point guard, so he's able to use his body. But when he is making shots from the perimeter and he's being aggressive, he's really tough to stop.
Yep.
I know their team. I mean, you know, KJ Pruitt was guarding him, and KJ was one of our best defenders last year. We would put him on and he had a hard time guarding him. Yep. So it was really good to see Bray be aggressive and do what he was doing.
23 points. Eli Watson had 16. Jamison Eklund had 9, but you know, it was just, I mean, Tiffin played well, and it was a good game, and they found a way down the stretch, and full credit to them. But before we talk about Walsh, because you guys bounced back, got a great win, I'd like you to, best you can, describe your message to your team before you guys played Walsh, because it was obviously, the message was important, and it was read loud and clear.
You know, I took a lot of blame for Thursday upon myself, because you know our minutes were kind of limit. I mean, we played guys too many minutes. Our rotation was not as crisp. I know JT got in foul trouble a little bit Thursday, but I feel like our program had just gotten a little bit complacent. You know, we didn't have a lot of energy, and it wasn't that we were playing bad, but I just felt there was a complacency that set in to where it was like, you know, we were playing okay, and then that was just good enough.
Yeah.
You know, and I kind of obviously put that on myself, but I also challenged our players too. So we had a little bit of a heart-to-heart. You know, I came in and was pretty fiery on Friday and Saturday at our shoot-around and challenged them and said, hey, this is how it's going to be here. You know, this standard is going to be set now, not next year or not when we do, you know, it's going to be now. I said the changing of the culture has to start now. And I said, we've kind of just leveled off. And I said, it's not going to happen. I'm not going to let it happen under my watch. So I challenged them. They knew where I was coming from. They knew what I was expecting. And, man, I'll tell you what, Saturday was, it was the energy level that we were playing with. Yep. It was the passion that we were playing with. Yep. It was the togetherness that we were playing with. And not that we had been playing selfish, but, you know, there just seemed to be we tapered off and leveled off. And I wasn't real happy about it.
Yeah, because, again, I the effort level's been good, but it was the energy and all the other stuff like you talked about. And, you know, you get up to a solid start. Walsh responds. It's 44-41. You're down at halftime. And that second half was probably your best half of the season, I would say.
It really
overall.
Was.
And you did everything. You defended. You made shots. You made plays. You got out and ran. You made offensive and defensive plays. It was a lot of fun to
and
watch.
Everybody contributed, you know. And I told him, I said, you know, after the game was over and we were in the locker room and they were celebrating and we settled down, and I just said, listen, like, even in a loss, I would have been happy with our effort. You know, I thought we played extremely hard for 40 minutes. And that's all we're really asking from, you know, from our staff. And from the players is that you play hard for 40 minutes and play together. And I did. I thought it was a tremendous, like you said, we ran hard. We got to the glass. We defended at a really high level. Walsh is a good program.
Yeah. I mean,
they have really good guard play. But I just thought even our toughness, I thought, wore them down. I mean, our points in the paint on Saturday, I mean, we outscored them by, I think, 20. I think it was like 48 to 28 in the paint.
48-28, exactly
yeah.
right.
And they outshot us from the free throw line. And it's not like – I call it fool's gold a little bit. Like when you hit a bunch of threes and you win a game, you know, we didn't shoot the ball well from the perimeter.
No.
At all. No. You know, but we shot an extremely high percentage. We got really, really good shots. And we shoot almost 55, 56%.
Yeah, well, 64, in particular, 64 in the second half is the
I
part
mean, you're not shooting 64% yeah. because yeah. you're making a lot of jumpers.
No, no. 59 overall, 64 in the yeah. second half, and only 6 for 19 from three-point range.
Only 6 for 19, so it's like I think our toughness kind of came about there, and we got really, really good shots. We had a lot of guys around the basket. JT got a lot of layups. Eli was 8 for 9 from the field.
Yep.
You know, and Jamison Eklund is starting to post up a little more and getting some easy shots, which helps us out.
I was just gonna say, so the math on that is 30 for 42 from the floor, from inside the 3-point line. So that'll get the job done. Obviously, Shamray had a really nice game, 13.6 assists. Will Young, 21 points. Eli, 17 points. JT, 11 points. But one like Jamison Eklund. Jamison came out, and the basket looked like the size of the ocean when he came here. And mm-hmm. he couldn't miss for the first month of the season. Gets hurt, hasn't been able to make a shot. But, like, I love how he's figuring out a way to contribute, get points on the board in ways he didn't do it early in the season. So when that 3-point shot comes back, and it will
mm-hmm. – there's other ways to yes. impact the game than yep. just scoring.
Yep.
You know, and he's defending. He's rebounding. You know, Will Young's a guy, too. I mean, you look at the points he scored and the shots he made, but defensively, that was probably his best game of the season. He defended at a high level, and he defended Carter, who had a heck of a first half,
yep.
and he was really able to shut him down in the yep. in the second half. And I thought Jordan Rogers came in, and that was part of my speech to them as well. I said, we cannot win games and play the way that we did Thursday against Tiffin, where I shortened the lineup.
Yep.
We only play about 6 or 7 guys. I think Eli played 37, 38
yep.
minutes.
Yep.
He's not efficient playing that many minutes.
Yep.
You know, we cut minutes down, and we gave him to some other guys, and I said, with that, you're going to play hard, you know, and I thought guys stepped up big time. I thought Jordan was great in the game.
Yeah, I was going to say, after we talk about Jameson, the next guy I want to talk about, the unsung hero to me was Gio Rogers. Just not even, like, you look at his stat line, 7.6 rebounds, 21 minutes. That's solid off the bench, but that's not where he mm-hmm. excelled in that game. He was making plays. He dove on the floor a couple times with the best hustle we've seen out of him as a Timberwolf, and it's the ideal play you want your bench players to come out. Energy, make plays, make something happen, and Gio did it big time that day.
Oh, and we went back and watched the film, and those are the things that we stress as coaches. I mean, I think we had 5-6 guys diving on the
yep.
floor, going for loose balls, you know, and that's going to be the standard that we're going to play at. You know, we said we got 6 weeks left in the season. I just felt like we were in too many games to just kind of continue to go along
yep.
and not yep. come over the top and try to get, you know, and get some wins, which we're certainly capable of, you know. We're going to go undefeated the rest of the year. You know, I don't know. But, like,
yeah.
my thing is, you know, going into these games, you know, I think our effort level just needs to be raised, and we're going to challenge our players. And they did on that Saturday. They stepped up big time. And practices have been good.
Yeah, yeah.
Energy's been good. You know, yeah. I said you're going to be exhausted either from playing or cheering hard.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking with Chom Church here on Northwood Basketball Weekly, live from Fricks on Sports Radio 100.9 The Mitt. So this week you get to make the Kentucky swing, head down to Owensboro on Thursday to face Kentucky Wesleyan. You have not played them this year. They're a very good team. They're one of the better teams in the league, near the top of the conference. Tell us about the Panthers.
You know, I think these next three games, I think these teams are very, very similar. You got Wesleyan. You've got Thomas More, and then you've got Walsh again.
We've
got basically a week off, and we got Walsh again. They're very,
yep.
very similar. Now, Walsh and Wesleyan have played twice.
Yeah.
And Walsh played really well down there. I think they lost 66-61, and then Walsh thumped Kentucky Wesleyan at Walsh. You know,
okay.
road games
yeah.
are
oh, yeah.
always
yeah, yeah, yeah.
a little bit different.
Particularly at the Sports Center.
Yeah. And it's going to be an interesting matchup. I think we match up pretty well with them. Their guard play is exceptional, as was Walsh's.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, you know, they probably shoot it. I think they're one of the better shooting teams in the country, so that's or in the conference. So that's going to be a huge key to victory for us is being able to guard them from the perimeter, particularly their three-point shooting. If you look at their wins, they're shooting at about a 9, 10, 11 make clip in their wins, where in their losses, they're around 4 or 5 makes from three. So I think that's going to be a big key for us, is being able to defend the three-point line. Because, you know, we haven't really talked about it, but, you know, our inside presence, or we did talk about it a little bit, but JT Morgan, like, just his post presence alone, even when he's not scoring, but his rebounding and his interior presence is going to be huge the rest of the year. I really think we can make a run here, and as JT plays well in the post and can score in the post, man, we just play really well off of him, and I think these next few games, he could be big for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And then Saturday you play Thomas More. You already played him this year, and it was one of those games we've talked about throughout this year. Like, I just was looking back at the box score, and I was like, I remember we were down by 3 with 5 minutes to go in the first half, and then all of a sudden, as I keep hitting the wrong thing, down by 3 or 3 minutes to go in the half, we ended up being down by 9 at halftime. And then that was just the stretch of the game that, like, just a couple of stretches here or there. But what do you remember from – what do you take away from that game?
Well, I take away, we didn't have JT that game.
Yep, that's –
so we didn't have JT that game. And then, you know, we basically – made a coaching decision and sat one of our players the last, 15, 16 minutes of the game there, which is, you know, we've gotten corrected and all that good stuff. So, I mean, I think that, like, it's going to be a real – I mean, they're very well coached. They're going to be ready for us. But I really think these next two games here in this road trip, we're excited about it. Like, we're ready to play. Obviously, a win helps, but this win gave us a little bit of juice, and you know, we're looking forward to going down there, because we tell our guys, hey, this is a good matchup for us. They're really good at home. They have not lost yet, Kentucky Wesleyan.
Yeah.
So that'll be a tough game, as well as Saturday, Thomas More. But being at full strength on Saturday at Thomas More, to me, is going to be the biggest takeaway from this game here, where we're going to have basically our full team. I'm not sure if we had Andrew Smith back for the Thomas More game. He might have still been, or he came back.
He played 3 minutes.
Okay, so he might have just been kind of coming back. That might have been his first game. So.
Yeah, to get all those guys back and playing well. And like you said, I think – you had to almost create that juice with the team to, like, not slip away. But then, like you mentioned, and I've seen it in the gym, I've seen practice the last couple of days, you haven't had to say anything.
No.
Just let's go. They roll the balls out there, and they've got the energy, and then they've got the belief. And it's like you said, it's amazing what one win can, how it can change everything.
And we told our guys, I said, our staff is exhausted. And I said, we're not overly exhausted from coaching. We're exhausted from trying to, like, coach energy.
I
said, I cannot do that. That has to come from the players. Now, we have to kind of teach them how to do it. But the last few practices have been amazing. And, again, I haven't been, you know, we're able to focus on the coaching aspect of it. And that's what we have to – and that's what we got to do. And that's what our players have to learn. So it's something that our upperclassmen are kind of teaching our young guys right now. And I hate to use this word, the process, but it is.
It is
a process. So, you know, we're going to learn from our mistakes. We're gonna continue to move forward. But, you know, I just feel like the needle is starting to move a little bit now.
Yep.
You know, and it's not just about the wins. You know what I mean? It's about the daily process that we're carrying over.
Last question. Braden Chamray is our next guest, and he had a huge week last week, and it's just really exciting to see him grow as a person and as a player, and see his confidence grow and stuff, and
blossoming.
That's a good way to call it.
He is so fun to watch. I mean, we're watching that film. I mean, I have to say, I mean, I get a little fiery on the sidelines, but he came off of that. It was a baseline out of bounds play with Nick Ellis.
Yep.
And he came off of that handoff, and the defender went underneath, and he stepped back and hit that three. And I think it pushed the lead up to like 7 or 8.
Yep.
Man, I was pumped.
Yeah.
I mean, I pointed at him, and I was yelling. I was like, that's it, Bray. You know, we've kind of put the ball in his hands, so to speak, and just said, and I've told him, I said, hey, be aggressive. You know, be the player that we know that you are. And you could see, like, he's getting confidence, but he's relaxed at the same time.
Yep,
so, man, it's been fun to watch. Because we always kind of knew he was that player, but he's taking it to a whole nother level, and it's fun to watch.
Yeah, and the thing that I really like, you can see it now especially, is that Ray's soft-spoken, pretty quiet kid off the court. But game gets on the line. He's got some juice to him.
He's got
some juice. Yeah, for sure.
And I love how the older guys are with him too. Yeah, you know, because they, you know, they know like how good he is. You know what I mean? So they've been kind of helping the whole time to kind of bring it out of him. But no, he's been great this year. I think he's one of the best, if not the best, freshman in the league.
Yep.
You know, and we've got what 11 games to go or whatever it is.
And we've watched him rise, and now here it's not going backwards.
Nope.
It's only going to keep getting
better.
And
that's the thing, and we're going to continue to kind of feed him that energy and that confidence that we can as a staff, because, like I said, in games he is fun to watch.
And I want to give somebody else a shout out, a full credit in the situation. That's Noah Pruitt.
Yeah.
Noah Pruitt is an upperclassman. He's been started a lot of games at Northwood, and what a great teammate, what a great person he's been since basically losing the point guard role to him. Now, he still gets lots of minutes and splits time, gets on the floor the same time as Bree, but, like, to see how he's been and kind of leadership you're showing with him along to Braden, it's been really great to see.
It's been awesome. I mean, Noah has been the senior leader and captain that we hoped that he would be. We're so glad that he wanted to come back and finish this, you know, finish it and graduate from here. Going to be an NU alum for life. And, no, just to see his leadership in practice and, you know, to take Bray and to teach Bray and all that stuff, but also contribute because he's had some really, really good games. And, you know, it's going to be a team effort down the stretch for sure.
Well, you guys are Thursday at Kentucky Wesleyan, Saturday at Thomas More. Coach Church, thanks for joining us, and good luck this week.
Thank you.
We'll take a break, come back, wrap up the show with Braden Chamray. You're listening to Northwood Basketball Weekly, live from Frick's on Sports Radio 100.9 The Mitt. Welcome back to the final segment of Northwood Basketball Weekly, live from Frick's on Sports Radio 100.9 The Mitt. Our next guest, freshman, having a great year for the Timberwolves, starting point guard Braden Chamray. Braden, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me.
The big question I like to ask really tough questions. What's the worst way you've heard your last name pronounced? Because I'm sure you get a lot of different ways to say it.
Yeah, I'd probably say people try to pronounce a Z, say Sizemrej, something along those lines.
Yeah, because it's pronounced Chamray, but it is spelled, you probably could spell it quicker than I could.
It's S-Z-A-M-R-E and J.
Yeah, it is, yeah. I saw the name, I'm like, oh, cool, how do you say it? Chamray. Could have given me a billion guesses, I would not have gotten it right. So you're in your freshman season, Coach Church, Coach Church was recruiting you at Tiffin before he made the move up here.
Yep.
And then were you committed to Tiffin?
Yes,
I
was committed.
And then what made you decide to switch from Tiffin to Northwood?
Once I found out Coach Church was looking for the job here, he kind of got in contact with me, so we were setting things up for me to come here.
And how far was it from Hudsonville to Tiffin?
About 5 hours.
Okay, so it is definitely a big – so your family must have been excited that you're –
For sure.
Yeah, and I mean, sure, it's nice to, like, be a little bit away, but also close enough to go take
it's
the day
a good
and go.
Distance, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, so your season, you started off as the backup point guard, and things progressed, and you were coming off a really good week. Talk about how you've kind of adapted to the college game.
Yeah, no, obviously it's a lot different from high school. I feel like I've matured a lot more defensively, offensively, even personally. And I had to gain some confidence over this past week, and hopefully I can keep playing the way I've been playing.
Yeah, and it's interesting to see, like, what – I mean, I think the biggest – to me, and I've asked this to a lot of players over the years on this show, the biggest difference between high school and college is what is playing hard. Because I'm sure you think in high school, like, your high school level of playing hard – Now you look back, it's probably like 70% of effort.
Yeah.
So how do you how much of an adjustment was that for you?
Definitely on the defensive side. Looking back at it now, I would say that I played little to no defense in high school.
But there's a lot of people like that.
For sure. But, just more intensity, more energy, picking up the ball. It's been a tough adjustment for me personally, but I'm getting better as the season goes on. But, yeah, defensively it was probably the biggest change for me.
Yeah, and watching you play, like seeing the confidence in the – because, even seeing your shot and your technique and stuff, you know you could shoot it.
Mm-hmm.
But lately the ball's been going in and you've been building confidence. So, like, one of my favorite questions as point guards is how do you balance the getting your teammates involved versus taking your own – going and being a scorer as a point guard?
Right. I feel like – growing up, I've always been kind of more pass first. I like to make the flashy pass here and there.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like Coach told me to be more aggressive, which is means taking more shots, getting more reps, and it's been working this past couple of games, so hopefully I can keep giving the team what we need, as well as, you know, keeping my teammates involved. And
yeah, was the JT you had that sweet pass to the end of the game on Saturday? You had one really good pass down the stretch. I can't remember which.
At the end, was it to Will?
It was always to Will. Yeah. That one was pretty sweet. Because you had a good pass to a lot of passes to JT as well. Mm-hmm. So, but looking at, like, you started the year as the backup to Noah. And Noah's one of the great dudes we've ever had.
Absolutely.
He's an awesome dude. And talk about what it's like playing with a guy that's been around the program and a college player for a long time.
Yeah, no, he definitely has a lot of experience. He's been a good wingman to me. And he's taught me the ropes. He's pushes me in practice on the defensive end. And offensively, going around screens, helping me get better defensively. So he's been great. Great positive influence on me.
Yeah, and he's a really – besides, we mentioned he's a really good dude, but he's a good teammate too.
Because
that would be – a lot of guys, as a senior, to lose their starting spot to a freshman would be hard. But he really is an ultimate team guy.
Definitely. You can tell there's no – nothing personal there. It's just all whatever's best.
When you look at, like – how the team's progressed this year. Obviously, it's a bunch of new guys, yourself included, but even a lot of our veterans are new first-year guys.
Yeah.
How the team is playing right now as opposed to early in the season, where do you think you guys can continue to get better the rest of the way?
I think just keeping our chemistry the way it's been, even during our losing streak, I feel like there was no personal issues going on with the team. The chemistry stayed the same. It was just – we just couldn't find a way to win, but you know, Saturday we got our first win in a while, so I hope we can keep things going.
Yeah, speaking of that game, you guys really looked good from start to finish. Mm-hmm. And, like, there's been, like, Coach Churchill and I have talked a lot about, like, if it's a 40-minute game, we play 36 good minutes.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Those 4 minutes are costing us the game.
Right.
You put together 40 minutes in that game against Walsh. What was what do you think the key to that was?
Definitely our energy.
Yeah.
You know, Coach came in, I think it was that morning, and he – he had a lot of energy.
Yeah. I heard he had a lot of energy in the speech he gave you guys, too.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I think that, you know, talking about the bench, you know, getting up for good plays, celebrating, just all of that stuff kind of plays into, you know, playing that full 40 minutes, like you said. But, yeah, just our energy, you know, playing hard all the time, those things play into playing to winning, so.
We're talking to Braden Chamray on Northwood Basketball Weekly, live from Fricks on Sports Radio 100.9 The Mint. When you look at looking at Saturday, I mean, even Thursday was a good game. You've had a lot of games that were close against, like, good teams. But I think you guys just know that you're playing good teams, maybe not quite winning in those moments, but you know you can compete with anybody, so it's got to give you confidence for the rest of the season.
Absolutely, yeah. It was just in the second half they would go on a run, and we would just have no way to respond. But I think now we figured it out, because even in the Walsh game, they went on a little run. They were up about 5 or something.
Yeah.
And we were able to overcome that. So as long as we keep that up, keep winning.
Yeah. So Hudsonville to Midland. Tell us about your high school career. What was your favorite moment as a high school basketball player?
I would say my junior year, we made it to the regional final. It was just an overall great season. We had a lot of great leaders on that team. I think I gained a lot of experience that season, and we were successful. So that was the most fun for sure.
And as a player now, you're now almost through your – well, I'll ask you this. How's your body feeling right now? The season's long. The amount of work you got to put in, how you feeling right now?
It's a lot different from high school. My body is – I've been in the training room.
Yes. I'm sure you probably didn't have to – injury. What's an injury in high school? Have you hit the perceived wall as a freshman? Do you think you've hit that? Or have you gone through it yet? Or are you just going kind of – is it the kind of not much different than as it was early in the year?
I wouldn't say I've hit a wall. I think, obviously, it's wear and tear is getting there. But and as long as I keep stretching, keep my body right, then I should be good.
You know, it's one of the things I say, because I've been around college game a lot, and it just gives me more and more respect for those NBA guys. Like, you guys are playing, like, 30 games, and by the time the season's over, you guys are like, I need a break.
Right.
Those guys are playing 82 plus up to 100 games,
right.
And it's crazy.
And
so
their off-season, all that, too.
Yeah. They play, like, 100 games in the playoffs, and, that's crazy. That's crazy. where do you want to continue to – what area of the game are you most, like, looking forward to? Like, in the offseason when you can focus on improving something, what do you want to really focus on this offseason?
I'd probably say getting more in the weight room.
Yeah.
I think Coach Church is going to have me play a little bit more of a – like a posting up role. Yeah.
You've seen that a little bit lately, too, where you've been posting up a little bit. Your fadeaway shot's really good.
Yeah. So if I can get bigger and stronger, then I can utilize that in the paint against some of the smaller guards in the league.
Right.
So probably be in the weight room, mobility, my feet mobility, hip mobility, just my defensive. I got to find a way to move my feet quicker on defense.
Yeah, so. Those guys are fast. They're so those especially those small point guards. There's a reason that you're not that tall and you're playing basketball because you got to be quick. There's not a lot of slow short guys playing basketball at this point. Obviously, it's very early, but 4 years. I always end with academically. What's your major? What do you want to do when you're done playing basketball? As a freshman, if you don't have an answer, it's certainly okay.
Right. I am right now. I'm a business management major. I don't really know completely what I want to do, but I was looking to be real estate maybe.
Okay.
Something with real estate.
Yeah. I will tell you that there's a lot of seniors that sit there and go, I'm not sure what I want to do yet too. So you got 3 more years after this to figure it out. Well, Bray, really enjoy watching you play and seeing how much you've improved. It's been awesome to see and looking forward to seeing how the rest of this year unfolds. So good luck this week and a couple games and have fun on the bus.
All right, definitely. Thank you.
Thanks, Bray. I'd like to thank our sponsors for this year's Coaches Show. We'd like to thank My Michigan Health for sponsoring the show. It's a nonprofit health system headquartered here in Michigan, affiliated with Michigan Medicine, the healthcare division of the University of Michigan. And, of course, our friends at Sandy Ridge. Great golf course here in Midland, making improvements every day. New clubhouse will be coming in next year. Looking forward to that. So thank you to My Michigan Health. Got to thank Fricks for all they've done for us over the years. Good to be back here tonight for the live show. So this weekend, everybody's on the road. Both men's and women's basketball will be gone. They start on Thursday at Kentucky Wesleyan. That's a 6:30 and 8:45 start our time, 5:30, 7:45 their time. On Friday, the track and field programs will be over right nearby here at Saginaw Valley, so get a chance to go check out the Northwood track and field programs. Garrett Rolk and Garrett and Hetler and all those guys doing a great job. That's on Friday at SFSU. And then Saturday, the track and field team will also compete at Eastern Michigan. So send some people to Saginaw, some people to Eastern Michigan. And then for basketball, they will finish their Kentucky swing with 2 games at Thomas More at 1 and 3 o'clock our time. That's going to do it for tonight's show. I'd like to thank my guests, Autumn Hagedon, Maddie Volker, Tom Church, and Braden Shamray, and you for listening. This is Travis McCurdy signing off. We'll be back on the air next Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Have a great night, everybody.